Welcome to the South Carolina Lead, a podcast that breaks down state political news for you and provides insight on legislative happenings under the Statehouse Dome in Columbia. Hello, I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode is for the week of November 12th, 2019. More than half of all Americans suffer from at least one chronic disease, such as diabetes, heart disease, or cancer. We know a big contributing factor to these expensive diseases is our lifestyle, what we eat, drink, whether we smoke or exercise. Tony Bartlemy with the Post and Courier recently focused on what we eat, specifically how we cook our food, and the substances created in that process, which researchers in South Carolina say have big ramifications for our health. Interact with us on Twitter or Instagram at @SCLeadPod, and we always want to see and hear from you, so send us a shout out and we'll put it on our social media. And just a heads up again, this is your final warning, leaders. We are going to be back in the upstate this week for our live taping. That's right, we're going to be at Growler House in Spartanburg on November 14th at 6 p.m. We're going to have swag, great discussion, food and beer for purchase, and more. We're going to have the Post and Courier's Jimmy Lovegrove and the state newspaper's Mayon Schechter up in the house at Growler House, Spartanburg, on November 14th at 6 p.m. You can find details at scetv.org/scled. No snake alerts. Not in the upstate, though they're still thirsty. Every Tuesday, we give you a roundup of news, insight into the week's biggest stories, campaign trail intrigue, and a chaser of trivia. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, where you can also rate and review us. We're everywhere podcasts exist, including NPR One. You can listen to all four sections of our podcast while you celebrate Pimento Cheese Awareness Month. It's real, and it's real important, y'all. Show us how you're celebrating, and please raise awareness about pimento cheese. Or while you wonder what you're going to spend with that $50 check coming back from the Mega Millions winner. I know where I'm going to put that extra money that the state's sending back to me. Into new tires for my car, because our roads are so good. Who could do that for us? One penny. Now for our brief quorum call. Quorum call is a term to see if there's a majority present, but here on the South Carolina Lead, we know a majority of the time you're not always current with the news. So here's a quick recap of several top stories you should know about. Number one, the state newspaper reports that lawmakers will have an extra $2 billion to spend next year in the budget. This according to state budget forecasters. This is twice the extra money lawmakers had last year and now brings the state's total general fund budget to $10.2 billion. So of that new $2 billion, $815 million is recurring, which means we'll be back so they can use it on things like teacher pay raises or other recurring needs. And then $1 billion is one-time money. So that usually goes towards infrastructure, upgrades, and maintenance needs. More to see what happens next year in the legislature. Number two, the Post and Courier reports that on average, 7.2 infants out of every 1,000 born in South Carolina died within 12 months. This according to state data. In 2017, that number was 6.5 per 1,000. In 2018, 406 babies died out of some 50,000 born due to congenital malformation and deformation, followed by disorders related to short gestation and low birth weight, and accidents, according to the State Department of Health and Environmental Control. Infant mortality rates serve as a public health indicator. A major cause of these high rates, especially among Black infants, is obesity among mothers. Number three, the Associated Press reports that the Senate Medical Affairs Committee restored exceptions for rape and incest in the fetal heartbeat abortion bill that will be on the Senate floor come January. Similar bills passed in Louisiana and Georgia and other states outlaw virtually all abortions after 8 weeks when a heartbeat is detected, and those are tied up in courts. The bill's future in the Senate remains uncertain. And now for our Florida Man News segment. Every week we give you a headline, a little taste of the most captivating Florida Man news. Headline, Florida man sues Madonna because her concert is starting too late. Papa don't preach. And just like my arteries during Pimento Cheese Awareness Month, we've buried the lead.
Like that. Hey, T, get the cheese!
More than half of all Americans have at least one chronic condition, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, or cancer. These expensive chronic diseases are caused in part by our lifestyles, what we eat and drink, whether we smoke and if we exercise, and of course our genetics. But Tony Bartlemy with the Post and Courier recently took a deep dive on one of those contributing factors, what we eat, specifically how we cook our food. High heat cooking like frying, baking, and grilling can create substances called advanced glycation end products, also known as AGEs, that we'll be talking about with Bartlemy, who spoke with researchers in South Carolina who continue to find evidence that those AGEs are contributing factors to our chronic disease problem in America. Tony is joining me from the Post and Courier newsroom in Charleston. Tony, welcome back.
Hey, nice to be with you, Gavin.
Tony, just a softball question to open up with. It's Pimento Cheese Awareness Month. I don't know if you knew this, but we just found out today about it, November. Can we eat pimento cheese still?
Oh, so sorry to hear that. Well, a lot of cheeses, maybe not so good.
Yeah, uh-oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, just want to get into it. You know, this was an interesting thing. You mentioned in your story a few paragraphs down that these AGEs we create when we bake and fry foods, heats, can create these chemicals and that build up in our tissues over time and can lead to problems such as aching joints, hardening arteries, protein issues in the brain, erectile dysfunction, and wrinkles. Tell me about this. Are they like free radicals, basically, that have these negative effects? And what are researchers finding out about these AGEs that are kind of fascinating that we don't really hear much about?
Yeah, so they're, you know, these are these interesting substances that hardly anybody's heard about, even doctors. But basically, these are substances that are created when you heat food at very high levels, and you heat specifically foods that are high in sugar, fat, and protein. And then it creates this chemical reaction that basically creates these substances called AGEs. And then when we eat these foods with these high AGEs, and sadly a lot of these foods are really good, they get into our bloodstream and they actually can make our blood sticky. And this stickiness in turn triggers inflammation, which in turn triggers the body's immune system to think that there's some sort of invading force. And then that's how you end up with all these sort of chronic inflammation diseases.
Yeah, because you're right. Moving from these researchers found it, these AGEs, basically because they were researching diabetes early on, right? That's where this all kind of came from. And now they've expanded this research into looking about how it's affecting things such as cancer, correct?
Yeah, it was amazing. Early on, researchers into diabetes knew that our body actually creates these AGEs naturally. We're basically these sort of portable stoves that burn sugar and then create these AGEs in very low amounts. And our body is able to get rid of them if we don't eat too many. But they didn't know the AGEs were in food for more than 15 years into their research.
And so we figure out that those foods, some are obviously higher in AGEs. I mean, you talk about we just can't even eat bacon apparently anymore if we want to try and live a healthier lifestyle, correct? Things like bacon and even chicken, I mean, has high rates, and it just depends on the cooking process, correct?
Exactly, yeah. No, so these AGEs are basically created when you cook things at really high heat, you know, in the oven or on a grill. It's the AGEs actually are the substances that make food really delicious. So the browning what you see when you on a grill or in a hamburger, that's sort of the visual evidence that AGEs have formed. So the good stuff. Sorry.
And I'm guessing like a big reason that you decided to tackle this because the good stuff is so much of the good stuff we eat in South Carolina. I mean, our cuisine is basically rampant with these contributing factors, these tasty AGEs that are unfortunately contributing factors, according to this research, to a lot of these chronic diseases that are plaguing not only South Carolinians, but, you know, people worldwide.
Yeah, we eat a lot of these foods, and we also have enormous amounts of chronic diseases affecting people. We have a third of South Carolina is obese, and obesity is related to all this, and sky-high numbers of diabetes. You know, diabetes used to be a very, very rare disease, and now I think the last number I saw was about 13%. One out of every eight people in South Carolina has diabetes.
That's stark. And I know just the amount of money we spend on these chronic diseases annually. I think it's like $3.5 trillion a year in expenditures in America, healthcare expenditures. And 90% of those expenditures are because of these chronic diseases. And that's why we have high insurance rates and a lot of other problems, too. But Tony, what prompted you to do this? I know there's some research going on at MUSC. Tell us a little bit about that and what was kind of like the tie-in here to South Carolina, besides obviously the delicious cuisine that they're saying is AGE high-end, pretty ridden.
Well, like a lot of good stories, it began with a conversation. I was talking to an MUSC researcher named David Turner. They're here at the Cahalings Cancer Center. And David had done an interesting TEDx talk, a TEDx Charleston talk on AGEs. And I heard him do that talk, and I was kind of blown away that I'd never heard of it. And, you know, I was also amazed at how it sort of helped explain the mechanics behind all these diseases that we're experiencing now. And so we sat down, and then he talked to me a little bit about his research, which is kind of groundbreaking stuff on cancer. And then so I thought, oh, well, that would still be an interesting window into a world that not many people know about.
And what's he looking into specifically, Tony? Just the links between AGEs and the prevalency? I think there was something also he was talking about looking in specifically, I guess, in cancer patients who live in poverty, high poverty areas, or who are, you know, prone to poverty, because obviously we know that, you know, in those situations you're not eating the best food also, and that, you know, how that contributes, I assume.
Exactly. Yeah, he was interested in the disparities in South Carolina involving people who, there are a lot of minorities basically have a lot of higher rates of cancer. And he was very concerned and interested in answering the question, why is this so? So he began to look at AGEs and prostate cancer and found very interesting correlations between the amount of junk food people eat and high levels of prostate cancer. So he began looking at the kind of the state of cancer health in South Carolina, and then started diving into the mechanics. You know, what was causing, what, you know, on a molecular level, what is causing people to get prostate cancer?
And I guess it's worth noting, too, that, you know, I was talking to my brother about this. He seems to be a pretty healthy guy, you know, and he says, oh, it's not just what we eat. I'm like, I know, Colin, but it's, you know, there's a lot of contributing factors here. So I'm guessing you don't want people to be too freaked out about all this. You know, you can have pizza, you can have burgers, and you can have bacon, but it's kind of like everything when we talk about dieting and health, it's moderation, and it's also making sure you know, live a healthy lifestyle if you can. You know, you work out, you balance what you eat and drink. It's, and then you can also have, you know, your pizza and your bacon here and there. But it's interesting to know that even when you're trying to live a healthy lifestyle, for example, having grilled chicken, you found out that is actually high in these AGEs. For example, a grilled chicken has 4,400 AGE kilounits, and apparently you can only have about, 8,000 kilounits of AGEs a day. So one grilled chicken would have about half of your daily intake there. But again, you say it comes down to how you prepare it, because if it's poached, that drops to 800 AGEs, which is really fascinating. So again, kind of you talking about how these things are prepared versus, you know, what they are themselves.
A piece of bacon's not going to kill you. It's easy to get overwhelmed by all this information about what you should and what you shouldn't eat. And I think the best way to sort of deal with that is to remember we all kind of know what's good for us and what isn't. And fried food isn't good for us. And we know that if we eat McDonald's hamburgers or junk food every day, we're going to get fat and we're not going to feel that great. So I think, yeah, exactly. Moderation is important. And then also, yeah, learning how to, there are some interesting ways to cook food that still make, you know, a decent dinner. You know, poaching is one great example. And the reason that works is because poaching and steaming keeps the temperature at around boiling. So that's a relatively low heat level. And, you know, there's some other techniques too. You can actually marinate meat in lime and lemon juice, and that actually slow cooks it, and then you can put it on the grill for a shorter period.
Yeah,
it's not all bad news. And also, you can eat vegetables to your heart's delight.
Exactly.
Your mama was right.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the rise of the popularity of these Instapots too. I mean, you can just, you know, that's all steam and heat, and I mean, that's, you know, that's steam, so pressure cooking right there. So that's something, that's another way to do it, especially if you're not too excited about, you know, poaching things or boiling things. That's a way to get around that too. But Tony, kind of like wrapping up here, what was maybe the biggest shock, the big shock for you, or like, what, you know, you're saying you heard his presentation, what maybe your findings, you're in your research and you're talking with these guys, what really kind of just blew you away when you started working on this?
I'll tell you what blew me away was that nobody knows about this stuff, and that it actually helps provide a deeper understanding of why we're experiencing so many of these chronic diseases. So for me, it was a real revelation. I found it fascinating. All facets, the history, and then also the mechanics behind these things.
Yeah, because that's basically the molecular level here of all these problems that we're talking about. And it's interesting again to know that, you know, again, if you think you're eating healthy, certain things, yeah, it's going to be, you think that grilled chicken's okay, but if it's higher in these AGEs, which are seem to be contributing factors to some of these problems, yeah, you might want to maybe poach it every now and then instead of grilling it. So really fascinating research that you delved into there too. So not everyone can implement these changes sometimes, you know, time and You know, some people are just not going to want to sacrifice taste, for example. Have you implemented any of these changes? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I boiled a piece of chicken after I read this article the other day. And, like, I felt guilty when I was at brunch on Sunday. But have you made any changes to your diet, or have you heard from anyone? Have people been reacting to this about changes that they're implementing now because of your reporting?
Yeah, well, I'll begin with a confession. Yes, I did buy an Instant Pot and began.
There you go.
Yep. And, you know, and actually,
I'm doing it too. Christmas.
It's a pretty good way to cook vegetables and meats too, and stews. So I'm pleased. And also, you can poach eggs instead of fry them. I like eggs, so yeah, poaching eggs is actually really great. So it actually can expand your way of kind of eating. So it's not all bad news.
Any reaction from readers or fallout or people, and chefs? I mean, are people coming after you now?
Well, yeah, the next few days after we ran the story, I had about 50 emails in my inbox, and almost all of them were like, thank you for at least helping me understand what was going on. So the feedback was real. People are hungry, pardon the pun, for information that actually can help them live longer.
Exactly.
And healthier lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of many things. So, again, so be aware of these advanced glycation end products, these AGEs that we're talking about, which are present at higher rates in baked and fried foods. And if you're looking for another way to help fight against costly chronic diseases, that is another tool in our arsenal here. So check out How We Cook Our Food Is Killing Us. Scientists and SC Know Why. That's by Tony Bartlemy with the Post and Courier. You can read that on postandcourier.com. Thanks, Tony.
You bet. Good to talk to you.
AT, get the cheese!
It's that time again for some campaign trail news updates. We're looking at the latest in 2020 related movements affecting South Carolina, state campaign news, and highlights from the state's congressional delegation. Here's a little election roundup for you from last Tuesday. Charleston Mayor John Tecklenburg and Councilman Mike Seekins are in a November 19th runoff. North Charleston Mayor Keith Sumi wins his seventh term. Ricky Waring is Somerville's new mayor. And Greenville Mayor Knox White won unopposed. And we also want to thank everyone who went out to vote and also those who sent us their selfies from Election Day, especially John Elliott, who won our little swag bag giveaway, and everyone that turned in our photos. You can check out those photos on the Leeds Instagram and Twitter at SCLEDEPOD. Last week, Senator Lindsey Graham said on Twitter that a move that would allow the whistleblower to testify in writing is a due process crumb being thrown to House Republicans, adding that impeachment is the political death penalty for an elected official. And they must have a full right of confrontation regarding the whistleblower, not written questions and answers. And then later in the week, he said the impeachment inquiry would be dead on arrival in the Senate if the House bars the whistleblower's testimony. So a lot going on. We're going to be seeing a lot going on in Washington this week with the impeachment hearings underway. The state newspaper reports that a poll commissioned by the Program Security and Strength PAC and done by Benchmark Research found that 53% of voters said they back Graham's 2020 re-election bid, compared to 30% who support his likely Democratic challenger, Jamie Harrison. Of the 450 people polled, 54% identified as Republican and 29% as Democrat. Political reports that Julian Castro laid off campaign staff in New Hampshire and South Carolina. This comes as Senator Kamala Harris closes her offices in New Hampshire, and Senator Cory Booker just opened a new Charleston office here last Friday. And former United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice, who also served as the head of the National Security Council in the Obama administration, will be in Charleston November 18th to discuss her new book, Tough Love, My Story of the Things Worth Fighting For. Rice will host a free event with former Mayor Joe Riley November 18th at Grace Church Cathedral in Charleston at 7 p.m., Now, you can catch my interview with Ambassador Rice on the November 22nd episode of This Week in South Carolina at 7:30 p.m. on SCETV. In our final section, we focus on one quirky function of the state, politics, or government. It's named after the parliamentary procedure that lawmakers use when speaking to each other. And did you know that South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney is here? He is, ladies and gentlemen.
Here.
On Veterans Day, a veteran yourself. Russ, thank you for your service.
Sure, thank you.
We honor you, thank you. What do you have for us today?
Well, I'm bearing good news.
Oh. Very rare.
This week, next year, the presidential election will be over.
That's true.
Hopefully. Because, you know, in past elections, recently, we've had such tight elections, close elections, that there was all of this speculation there could be a tie in the Electoral College, and Congress, or the House of Representatives specifically, would have to decide who the next president would be. And, of course, South Carolina's Constitution models the federal Constitution, and in the event there's that type of situation in South Carolina, the General Assembly would decide who was elected governor. That occurred in 1876, the election which most people are familiar with, because that's the so-called election that ended Reconstruction. That's a whole other argument we can have one day. But that was when Republican incumbent Reconstruction-era governor Daniel Chamberlain from Massachusetts was running for re-election and was challenged by Democrat Confederate War hero General Wade Hampton. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, that is the election that Hampton ultimately prevailed, and that's pointed to by many as, you know, the end of Reconstruction. However, the election was such a volatile, tumultuous, messed up affair. It ended up in the South Carolina General Assembly with both Chamberlain, the Republican, and Hampton, the Democrat, claiming they were duly elected governor. Are you seeing that on your
Wikipedia? No, I'm taking notes. I have to take notes. I keep track when you get these curveballs. Keep going, Ross.
The election was extremely, obviously, consequential for the state, probably the most consequential in state history, probably the most controversial in state history. The election returns in Lawrence and Edgefield County were thrown out, so there was a mess. Our question is, after the due deliberations of the General Assembly, who ended up as governor of South Carolina following the 1876 election? A, the incumbent Republican Reconstructionist governor, Daniel Chamberlain. B, the Democratic challenger, Confederate war hero, General Wade Hampton. C, both Chamberlain and Hampton. D, neither Chamberlain nor Hampton.
Is there, I guess C would have been all the above. we always go with all the above, but that just sounds too ludicrous. But so you said again, Russ.
A, Chamberlain, the Republican Reconstructionist governor, the incumbent. B, the challenger, Democrat General Wade Hampton. C, Chamberlain and Hampton. D, neither Chamberlain nor Hampton.
I'm going to go with Wade Hampton. But C, if you say C, I mean, get out of here, Russ.
Well, ultimately, you're correct. Hampton, in the history books, the record books, would be governor. But when the General Assembly finished, they were both governors of South
Carolina. Get out of town.
They both claimed to be governors of South Carolina. And it was, again, quite the mess. And the House at that time ended up with two speakers simultaneously. So it was a very, I don't really know how to describe the situation.
I feel like there's a lot of words that we're not using to describe this that we can't use on air, but.
But ultimately, both were acting as governors for almost a year. The same with, you had two competing speakers on the rostrum in the House of Representatives. In 1877, with the acquiescence then of President Hayes, and perhaps the fact that most of the taxpayers in the state, and there weren't many, opted to support the Hampton government, he eventually prevailed as governor.
God. So always go for all the above, obviously. We've got to stay true to our rule here. But
donkey sauce?
That was some tumultuous times back in
I don't think we can, in all seriousness, I don't think you can imagine how tumultuous a time it would have been to have lived in South Carolina during that period. You had complete political upheaval as we just went through.
Yeah.
You had the social upheaval with the end of the war, the end of slavery. Economic upheaval with the state so devastated, like the other southern states, from the Civil War, it would not have been a fun place to be.
Yeah, and then you have these two governors and two speakers. I mean, is anything even getting done? But like you said, eventually they got around to it. But sheesh. Well, thanks, Russ. Thanks for that perspective.
Sure.
Hey, did you get the donkey sauce?
The South Carolina Lead is one of many ways SCETV wants to help keep you informed. Check out the latest news and live streams on SCETV.org. Listen to coverage from South Carolina Public Radio and watch This Week in South Carolina, a show where I talk with the newsmakers of the week on SCETV, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All About This podcast and more is available on SCETV's super easy to use app and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Subscribe to us and we'll have a new episode for you every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Search us easily on your Android, the NPR One app, or wherever you find podcasts. Also, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. And again, another shout out to everyone who participated in our Election Day selfie promotion on social media. Check it out. You can follow us on Instagram at SCLeadPod and see those photos, photos from the studio, on assignment, and of course, our dank memes. We're also on Twitter with the same handle at SCLEDEPOD. We have swag, sticker swag that is. Send us a direct message on Twitter or Instagram with your address and we'll send one your way. Email questions, comments, or your gripes to SCLEDE at SCETV.org. The South Carolina Lead is produced in partnership with South Carolina ETV, South Carolina Public Radio, and a special thanks to the Post and Courier. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Sean Birch is our supervising producer. Tom Posey is our executive producer. This episode was recorded and produced in South Carolina Public Radio studios here in Columbia on November 11th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening.
Secret message. Watch out for the Memento Cheese Lord. He'll steal your toes in the night.